This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello and good evening, everybody, and welcome to the latest update in our series of videos that's been exposing the monsters of the BBC. Primarily, the biggest monster of the BBC that we have exposed and done a lot of research and videos on and a book on is Jimmy Savile. If you've not seen our Untouchable documentary on YouTube, this is free to watch. It's quite long, almost 4 hours, I believe. Check it out about Savile. But with Hugh Edwards, basically, you know, when the Savile stuff came out, the BBC said they were cleaning house. This could not possibly happen again. But we've seen it happen over and over. And with Hugh Edwards, when news broke last year, I had people contacting me saying that Hugh Edwards is up to this and that. We had to wait until The Sun reported something so that we couldn't be done for defamation. But what happened was the story flared up. Then it quickly got covered up. And I'll get to that at the end of this story that I'm going to tell you of now, because this has just come out this week. We had the BBC guy that was R-wording dogs. And now we've got this update on the Hugh Edwards story. It just gets worse and worse. And when I finish this update on the Hugh Edwards story, I'd just like to go over how the BBC covered everything up last summer and tried to minimize things, and everything got disappeared off the internet about Hugh. Even The Sun that broke the story, there become a point where The Sun backed down. But now it's all coming out that not only is it true, there is so much more. I mean, the case last year that blew up in the summer was about a kid. You know, the images that were getting exchanged. But we'll get to that in a second. Let me just give you an update on what's happened this week. So, Hugh Edwards essayed a guy at the Ivy, private club in London. The man is now revealed this week how the presenter sent sordid messages before attacking him in a toilet of the private members club. And there are going to be some details coming through now. There's going to be messages, actual messages, I'm going to read out. And they are a bit disgusting. So if you've got any kids in the room, I would suggest they're not present while we go over this story. One of the things that Hugh Edwards bragged to the man was that he liked the danger of almost getting caught after he was urged to stop. This is as recent as 2 years ago. So he's now facing a possible jail sentence after pleading guilty to making indecent images of kids, which included two videos of a boy under nine. Yeah, absolute gag. We covered that story when it broke at the beginning of the month. And he had category A images, which means penetration or acts with animals. These are the most disgusting images you can possibly have on a device. So before the details of these crimes emerged, he met up with a man behind his wife's back and grabbed the guy's, let's just say, man parts, when he went to the toilet during a lunch date. The father of five, Hugh, befriended the man on Instagram. And before the second lunch date, he told him, "You are getting assaulted later." These are his words. "I'm so effing horny, it's indecent." These are Hugh Edwards' words. Pillar of the community, royal reporter, been at the top of the BBC, reporting on the main stories for years, decades. And this is as recent as 2022. He's telling a guy, "You are getting assaulted in the Ivy. I'm so effing horny, it's indecent." And the BBC has been paying this guy hundreds of thousands a year. Even when the allegations came out in the summer, they have continued to pay hundreds of thousands a year while people are getting locked up. There are a record number of women in prison because they cannot pay their bloody BBC licenses. That's what I find obscene. So the Mail got all these details out of this guy about the attack in the high-profile Ivy Members Club in the West End of London, where they lunched in January 2022. The man started following Hugh Edwards, who was then earning £475,000 a year, translated into dollars, approximately $600,000, as one of the most recognizable faces on British television, anchoring national events like the general election and the funeral of QE2. So the man was following him on Instagram in early 2021. He was 27 at the time and instantly got a message back from Hugh Edwards, swooping in the predatory style, saying, "Welcome." After a few weeks of exchanging Instagram messages, the two swapped phone numbers and were using WhatsApp to communicate. Speaking about the encounter, the man said, "Hugh followed me into the toilets of the Ivy Club where we were eating, and while I was standing at the urinals, he grabbed my beep and attempted to..." Yes, I won't say the word because of the YouTube algorithm. "I backed away. I was very shocked because this was not in a cubicle. It was in the open urinals area. Anybody could have walked in. I asked him, 'What are you doing? Please stop.' But he just kept on saying, 'I like the danger of getting caught.' And then he said, 'I love you.'" What is going on in this sicko's head? The man continued, "One of the most shocking things was how brazenly aggressive he was. I think he got off on the fact that he was a powerful figure and he could get away with grabbing me in the toilets like that." This is the thing with elite deviants. There are people who are so well connected. And in Savile's case, he did get away with it. It only came out after he died, and they even tried to suppress it when it was coming out after he died. And we're going to get to how the BBC suppressed the Hugh Edwards story last summer. We'll get to that in a minute. So there was a series of WhatsApp exchanges in which Edwards, once considered a national treasure, sent the man raunchy messages and explicit pictures of his private parts, as well as other photographs of himself. So he must have been about 60 years old when he did this. He's getting paid £500,000 a year, and he's going to toilets on dates with guys half his age, accosting them in the loo, and attempting to jack them off, basically. What kind of monstrous it just boggles the mind. All right. Edwards boasted about what he planned to do during the Ivy lunch date. As they made arrangements for the meeting, he bragged, "You're getting assaulted in the Ivy. I'm so effing horny, it's indecent." The man, after receiving these messages, agreed to go to lunch because he was in awe of the BBC star and was starstruck by his fame. That's what these predators capitalize on. Other messages underlined how beep charged the communication was between the two men, with Edwards in one exchange urging his younger companion not to wear any underwear for the date, joking that he must wear them because he is on BBC News later that night. He wrote, "See you at 1 p.m., beautiful boy. XXX." The man responded, "See you then, XXXX. Ivy Club is just smart casual and not shirt and tie, right?" He then joked, "No pants policy, X." Edwards replied, "Yes, but I have to wear some, or tonight's 10 could be my last," as in news at 10. "As for you, it's non-negotiable." In another message, he asked, "And when do I get you in bed?" In another series of messages, he wrote, "Sorry to say this, but it's unavoidable. I effing love you." This is a guy he's just met on Instagram. Insane. Does the BBC just employ the most insane, predatory people on the planet? Is that a prerequisite for you to rise up in the club? Hugh Edwards revealed his obsession with the man in other messages, writing, "Anyone eyeing you up, I'll kill them. You're mine. Seriously feel possessive about you." So in court last month, he was found to have received 377 pictures and video clips, including 41 of children. He was told they were illegal clips. And he said to the guy, "Stop sending them to me." And the guy said, "Yeah, they're illegal clips." And the guy continued to send them. And they engaged in conversation over a period of time whilst Hugh Edwards received these clips, some of which were Category A, the most disgusting, highest level of the category that you can have in the UK that includes penetration and kids as young as 9. He kept 7 Cat A images on his phone after being sent them on WhatsApp by a, you know what I mean, beep PDF file called Alex Williams. The man said, "When I heard the news he'd pleaded guilty to having images of underage kids on his phone, I felt physically sick. Any modicum of sympathy I once had for Edwards is gone, and I feel ashamed to have ever met him." So this is the guy that he tried to jack off in the loo at the Ivy Club. Recalling further details of the lunch of Edwards at the Ivy, the man claimed that prior to being aggressively groped in the toilets, Hugh had been overly tactile and that he constantly had to fight him off as they ate. He said, "As we were eating, he was being very touchy-feely. He was touching my arm, legs, and getting very close. I kept on battling his hand away. It was quite embarrassing because it was Hugh Edwards and everyone was looking over." Just flagrantly doing this in a public place and then flagrantly grabbing this guy's crotch in an open urinal. Continuing what the man said, "I kept on asking him, 'What are you doing?' And he would reply, 'I like the danger of getting caught.' His tone was playful, but it was also quite aggressive." He added, "Over lunch, Hugh was offered to regularly pay him money or his rent, and that the two also discussed hiring a room for the night." The man said, "I felt as if he wanted a toy boy, but I wasn't interested in that. During the lunch, he said things like, 'I'm in love with you. I'm your boyfriend now. Anyone looks at you, I will kill them. Jesus. Following the incident in the toilets, the man said that he returned to his table with Edwards, quote, as if nothing had happened. But after they left the Ivy, he decided that he no longer wanted to meet him. Oh, Hugh's not going to take that very well, is he? The first date took place in May 2021 at the Langham Hotel, close to BBC HQ in the West End of London, where they had drinks for 2 hours in a plush bar. It ended amicably, and the two men continued to maintain contact via WhatsApp. They had also spent the weeks leading up to their first meeting exchanging WhatsApp messages. The man said, hold on. It's another warm day in England. Not scorching, but in the messages, it was clear that Edwards was trying to introduce a flirtatious tone. One of the first messages he sent me was accompanied by a love heart. After a while, we arranged to meet in the bar of the Langham. The man, who is gay, admitted that he fell for Edwards' false charm and quite fancied him. He added, I was looking to have a normal relationship with him. I fancied him all the way until I met him. I was excited to meet someone I looked up to, which is why I went on those first two dates. I have a thing for older guys. He's very charismatic and someone I really liked as a journalist and TV presenter. Naively, I just wanted to go on a date with him. I was single at the time and I was excited to meet him. It felt quite surreal that he messaged me on Insta and that we were meeting. We ended the first date on a positive note. I would not hear from him for several weeks, and then he would contact me out of the blue, and eventually we met for a second time. So we're going to go over to what happened last summer and how the BBC attempted to cover it up, because I was contacted by someone on Instagram. And they said that Hugh was exchanging images with kids. And they sent me some evidence of this. And I spoke to my lawyer. And my lawyer said, look, you can't publish or say anything until it breaks in the news. Otherwise, it's defamation. And then it did break in the news. And we were reporting the hell out of it. And then there was a huge backlash as the club, the establishment, attempted to protect Hugh. But what happened was, in July 2023, a mother claimed in the national media that a BBC presenter, that's what they said at first, who was not named, had paid her kid £30,000 for explicit photos, and the kid had then turned around and used that to fund his drug problem. She said this had gone on for over 3 years, beginning when the boy was 17. Which made it a crime, because to do images like that, it's got to be 18. Began in 2020. And then the speculation was mounting. We knew who it was. And then his wife, Vicky Flynn, named him as the person at the center of the allegations, which opened the floodgate for us to start reporting on it. Five other people, including three BBC employees, came forward claiming they had received inappropriate messages from Hugh, which signaled the beginning of the end for his reputation, but they continued to pay him hundreds of thousands. He was then arrested on November 8th last year and charged on June 26th. He resigned from his role at the BBC 3 months ago, having kept news of his arrest a secret from pals, according to his colleagues. So, 16th of July, 2023, the BBC attempted to cover up everything that broke out about Hugh. We were all so excited that this monster was getting exposed. The Sun had done this tremendous work, and it all went, whoa. Mainstream media has completely attempted to reverse it, and the story died out until recently. And thank God it's resurrected with far more detail. So here's what the BBC said. 1 week on from the Sun's first allegations about Hugh Edwards, there are still major questions and unresolved details about the six chaotic days of claims and counterclaims. So you see how, when it gets as far as to a survivor's parents come forward bravely and get it out there, how the club just, they surround, they gather, protect, form this layer of insulation for the monsters of the BBC, their own monsters, just like they did. They protected Savile until after he had died. They protected Hugh, but the protection only lasted a year. It's all coming out again now. The Sun's telling of the story subtly shifted over the week, particularly in the prominence given to one crucial detail, which has left it facing serious questions. So now they're trying to destroy the credibility of the parents who bravely spoke out about what this predator had done to their kid. The media faced an almighty balancing act between privacy and public interest in reporting claims of serious wrongdoing. BBC News examined more than 40 online stories, as well as print editions of The Sun and other papers, to look at how the media, including the BBC itself, handled the most complex aspects of the story. See how they're just playing it all down? It all began with a story in The Sun last Friday that featured a very important phrase. It said a high-profile BBC presenter had given a young person more than £35,000, almost $45,000, since they were 17, in return for sordid images. Wording to this effect was used at least 7 times online over the next 3 days, out of dozens of articles published on the subject by The Sun. That line rang alarm bells among readers and the media, partly because it hinted at criminality. It suggested that the man, who we now know is Hugh Edwards, may have committed a criminal offence if such images were sent before the teenager was 18, which we suspected was true. It is worth saying Hugh Edwards has not yet addressed this or any of the further claims that emerged during the past week. In a statement on Wednesday, his wife Vicky said he would respond to the allegations when he is well enough. He will stay in hospital for the foreseeable future after recent events triggered a serious mental health episode. So all these predators, these monsters of the BBC and other mainstream media outlets, there's just an absolute pattern of them playing the mental health card when they get busted. And that was one of the strategies Hugh Edwards used last year to help this story disappear. And when they protected him after this came out, anyone who continued to report on him was then damaging poor old Hugh Edwards' mental health. Ridiculous. So, he was staying in hospital because recent events had triggered a serious mental health episode. Yeah, you get busted, it triggers a serious mental health episode, of course. On Sunday evening, in an editorial, The Sun began to refer to contact between the pair having started when the young person was 17, but did not specify what nature that contact was. There's the BBC backing Hugh up to the hilt, casting doubt. The last time The Sun used the key phrase with the direct allegation that the young person had been paid for sordid images since they were 17 online was on Monday evening. This was when it reported on a letter from the young person's lawyer to the BBC denying the substance, thanks Gene, of The Sun's story, and the parents' response, which formed the basis of a story in the following day's paper. The print story also repeated the phrase. So what they did was, they, whenever there's an allegation against a monster of the mainstream media, whoever the allegation is against, that person's lawyer immediately tries to co-opt the survivor by offering legal services. And then they got to parrot out whatever line the monster wants them to recite. And in this case with Hugh Edwards, the kid rescinded and rebuffed the allegations of his own parents, which helped the story go away. The publication of the letter, which was adamant that nothing unlawful had taken place, might have changed the question. So, yeah, get the survivor to rebuff the parent's allegation and it goes away. For example, after this, an online Sun editorial on Tuesday evening made no mention of the age the payment started or what the money was for. So basically they're saying, once this kid reversed, the Sun started to reverse, which they did because the legal strategy is a successful one. And we saw it with Schofield, how the kid suddenly had this top lawyer out of London. Matthew Stiebel's got a letter from the top lawyer out of London. Warnings were issued. Things were made clear. Jimmy Savile himself said he loves to take people to the Old Bailey. Key strategy for a monster of the mainstream media is let it be known. We are connected. We will take you to the Old Bailey. On Wednesday, the paper stated the young person was 17 when they first received money, but did not say if it was for explicit images. The Sun has said the story was always squirrely in the public interest. Its statement on Wednesday after Edwards was named by his wife said its original story did not allege criminality and further added that connection was only made by other outlets. Quote, from the outset, we've reported a story about two very concerned and frustrated parents who made a complaint to the BBC about the behaviour of a presenter and payments from him that fueled the drug habit of the young person. The BBC then says that initial story did not explicitly mention criminality, but if the details within it were correct, it suggested that a presenter had broke the law. The paper followed up with comments in the Sunday Times from former Chief Crown Prosecutor Nazir Afzal, who said that the presenter could potentially be charged with beep exploitation under the Beep Offences Act 2003. Its resulting story was headlined, top BBC star who paid child for beep pictures could be charged by cops and face years in prison, experts say. The Sun was approached for this story but did not wish to comment further, referring BBC News to the statement it issued on Wednesday. And then the BBC goes on to question the story. While its first story reported claims from the young person's mother, it is not clear whether the Sun had seen evidence proving the allegations before publishing. So, BBC said it wouldn't happen again after Savile. It happens again with Hugh Edwards last summer, and BBC then destroys the story exposing this creep. Did Sun journalists see and verify bank statements allegedly containing payments from the star or the so-called sleazy messages? No, but many of us woke up that week with a photo of Hugh Edwards' burr ass on our phones that had gone viral all over the world that about six of my mates had sent me that he had sent to, allegedly, an underage person. At the same time, the BBC is trying to clean his ass up. Or were they relying on the family member's word? The paper said family members had signed a sworn affidavit when sharing their story. It is unclear what the Sun meant by this, as an affidavit is a document overseen by a solicitor for use in legal action. On Monday, in response to the young person's denial, the Sun said in a statement that it had seen evidence supporting the family's concerns. A dossier of evidence has reportedly been passed by the family to the BBC, but BBC News has not seen its content, nor any of the Sun's evidence. Backed up by a legal affidavit or not, this account was to be firmly challenged by the young person at the heart of the allegations, by the young person who was bought off by a high-priced lawyer. Because it's all one big club. The BBC continues the denial. The letter from the young person's lawyer sent to the BBC on Monday evening conveniently sends to the BBC. Called the allegations rubbish and said nothing inappropriate or unlawful had taken place. So kid gets bought off to protect the BBC presenter, and his letter denying this goes straight to the BBC. How convenient. How incestuous. Furthermore, it said that the young person had sent a denial to the paper on Friday evening via WhatsApp, saying that their mother's account was totally wrong and there was no truth to it. But the inappropriate article was still published. But if the paper received the denial, many asked why it was not published, as is routine journalistic practice, with the young person's lawyers dismissing the claims and no response yet from the unnamed presenter. Eyes were on the BBC and the police to investigate. Yeah, like they were going to do anything, and they absolutely didn't. On Monday, the BBC met the Met Police, who advised it to pause its investigation while the police made inquiries. The Sun published an interview with the parents, who said the BBC were liars. Yeah, I totally agree with that. Put a one in the chat if you believe the parents of the kid in the Hugh Edwards case last summer. Put a one in the chat if you believe the parents, BBC, were lying. Put a two in the chat if you if the BBC were telling the truth. BBC published a timeline of events, and Director General Tim Davies said it's handling the situation responsibly and judicially. Yeah, right. The parents told the Sun they'd referred the matter to the police, who told them there was no criminal case to answer. All ones, thank you. Cops protected Hugh as well because they're part of the club. Of course. We now know two forces have concluded there was no evidence of criminality. South Wales Police, who the young person's parents first approached in April, said the allegations related to the welfare of an adult, not a child. Case closed. Wednesday evening, this was last year, the Met Police said there was no information to indicate a criminal offence and they would take no further action. Media critics were quick to point out that this cast this story, that the balance between public interest in publishing the allegations and presenters' rights to privacy in a very different light. So basically, all of us activists who were publishing this were in the wrong. Jackie Ames, board member of the press campaign group Hacked Off, said a suggestion of criminality screamed out at readers day after day. In the Sun's statement later that evening, reiterating that it did not initially allege criminality, it said its claims were always very serious. Sky News' Adam Bolton called the question of illegality a side issue. The issue is behavior that many people would potentially, if it's true, disapprove of, he told Newsnight. Journalists began investigating the presenter and further allegations began to emerge, fortunately. And now we're at the point where, you know, it was all pushed out of the news. Even us, I had to take my stories down off YouTube. But now, in the last month, it's all come out that this guy is an absolute monster of the BBC. He's got tons of images on his phone, Cat A images, seven of them, which means penetration, kids as young as nine, diabolical creep. Hopefully he's going to go to prison. He's not going to get a slap on the wrist. And now this week, this victim has come forward saying he went on a date with him at the Ivy, went to the loo, and got his genitals grabbed by Hugh and was absolutely disgusted by it. This is the tip of the iceberg, guaranteed. Can you imagine how many things this monster has been getting up to over the decades? And why have we been paying hundreds of thousands in BBC TV licenses to support this guy, even after this crap came out last year, that the BBC tried to suppress hundreds of thousands, when there are people in prison, a record number of women in prison who can't even pay their BBC license? The Alice in Wonderland justice system is completely upside down. It needs an absolute overhaul. We need to get these Masonic judges who are part of the club out of there, and people who are making decisions about sentencing, people who have survived heinous crimes, people who are going to put these guys away for long periods of time. That's the only way it's ever going to get overturned, because these guys are in on out and they don't take these crimes against kids serious. And until the whole justice system is overhauled by getting rid of this network of Masonic judges out, things are not going to change. And if you didn't see our podcast one with Carol Higgins, who was raised by her own father to do these disgusting things to, it was protected by Judge Pickles, then it all becomes apparent how big this network is when you hear it from the words of someone like a brave lady like Carol Higgins. So if you missed that on the one that we did a few years ago, check it out. And it's through interviewing the survivors that we've learned exactly how this club works. All right, thanks for tuning in, guys. We have got lots of content coming this week. I've got lots of true crime podcasts about to be recorded. I know I've been slow to get back to it since the Michael Francis tour. We were doing up to 2 to 3 a week at one point, but we are ramping it up. We are ramping it up again. And we have got some cracking interviews coming up soon. So thanks for tuning in. Much love and respect wherever you are in the world. I hope things are going good. We will see all your